Cole. Hello, Toronto. Hello, Toronto. This is BCN Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland and St. John's. I'm ready to send the Great Eastern in 3 minutes. Hello, Toronto. Hello, Toronto.
Not much.
I'm trying to get a line to Toronto, but I can't raise anybody up there.
Are they getting their fees?
I don't know. I have no idea.
There's nobody there.
Probably all over in Nagano.
I'd love to be in Japan right now.
You'd imagine what's going on in Toronto now, eh, with all the lines coming in from Nagano? I'm sure if I was in Japan, I'd get a line quicker. Hello, Toronto. Ato. Hello, Toronto. Jeez, I heard about your mom.
Oh, man, what a horror show. I took a cab home from work on Wednesday night, and as we're turning on the Kitty Bitty Road down there by Signal Hill, I see her heading downtown in her dressing gown.
Cold night?
Oh, it's frigid. She's ancient now, so I guess I can expect more of this.
Sure, put her in a home.
Cost a fortune, Doug. What's this big button down there?
That's the UPB switch.
What, the Universal Public Broadcaster? They aren't going to do that, are they?
Well, the boys in the union are a little jumpy.
How you doing, boys?
How are you, Bud?
Bud, how are you?
Not bad. Any tea bags or what?
No.
Morris got tea bags up there.
I'm not going up there.
It's up to you, Bud.
Jeez, you come in the weekend and can't even get a goddamn cup of tea.
What is it with Bud, huh?
Bud Doyle is a knob, Paul. BCN Master Control.
How are you? What? Yeah.
Yeah. Get out. Get out!
No. Yeah, okay. Second now.
0819.
Yep. Bowleroo. Bowleroo. Yeah. See ya.
Arsehole.
Who's that?
It's my brother-in-law. He's a dickhead. Hello, Toronto. Hello, Toronto. This is BCN Master Control in St. John's. Hello, Toronto.
Doug, you know that new missus down in accounting?
Oh, indeed I do.
Can I ask you...
Hello, St. John's. Hello, Toronto. I'm ready to feed the Canadian portion of the Great Eastern.
I gotta go.
Sorry about the confusion, St. John's. Go ahead. Great Eastern coming at you in 5 seconds.
I'm Rita Malloy, and that's the BCN News.
It's 12 o'clock, Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for the Great Eastern with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on the Great Eastern.
Does the right-wing establishment really want to leave it to God?
Take it from me. The UPB is a paranoid delusion of the unions.
It's a deliberately vulgar image.
Hi, hi. UDD. What to?
Bienvenue, Canada. Welcome. Blessed Iceland and Newfoundland. Hello. My name is Paul Moth. On today's show, we talk that the world understands. Architecture, now architecture, aerial spraying, and a four-tier healthcare system. And just who is the Canadian loony who's dealing our dollar? All this for you, with me, on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. Down into the murky depths of the BCN building I go. Down to the vault. Our own Davy Jones's locker, littered with historic radio wrecks, scuttled after serving their time on the long waves. Master diver and treasure hunter down here is director of radio, Ish Lundrigan.
Paul?
Doing a bit of inventory, Ish?
Just checking to see if anything was stolen.
Yes, sir. Shocking news here. We had a break-in at the BCN last Tuesday night.
They had a good crack at this door, but I don't think they got in.
Well, the thieves sure got into the wearing the wire offices. They turned the place upside down. And they stripped the studios clean.
What about you, Paul? Anything stolen?
A few papers, and my office was soiled. Let's just leave it at that, shall we?
Well, that could have been anyone. Shame to lose all that Krupp's Funkenscheit equipment. I know it was out of date, but by God, it was reliable.
Yeah. Lucky the commissioner could get hold of a replacement Shiate electronics on such short notice,
Yeah.
Those Korean multinationals. Always quick to please.
I know what you're getting at, Paul.
Me? Getting at something?
Look, I know there's talk that the new Shiate equipment is just infrastructure for receiving a monolithic signal from a universal public broadcaster.
Huh. Is that the talk?
Take it from me. The UPB is a paranoid delusion of the unions.
What about the master switch on the new studio boards?
What master switch?
The one that says UPB on, off.
Well, that's industry standard. Anyway, the universal public broadcaster was tried out in the 50s and totally discredited.
It was?
I have a tape here. It never really got past the testing stage, but the United Nations got us to pilot a few shows. The idea was that all the countries in the world would receive the same public broadcast signal. Interesting experiment. Actually created a universal broadcasting language.
Hey, yo, Ivan Brun.
Yo, Maria Smith. To air This Morgan on Unipub Radio Eni. News more.
This Morgan on This Morgan. Eni, meeny, miney, mo.
Eni, Grand Storia, London Gas, kaboom.
Ooh, meeny, fluff party schmooze. Ha ha, hooray, Hollywood.
Miney, politics experts, Vox Gruppen, Berlin. Uh-oh, USA versus USSR at UN.
Mo, bon bon homo, woof woof, do shopping. Wow, good program.
Uh-huh.
Okay, This Morgan.
Eeny minute. Hi, returno, post news local.
Maria Bello This Morgan.
Ivan Bello This Morgan.
Us ritorno.
Wow, Ish. That's awful.
Yeah, a product of that lowest common denominator approach to programming.
It's a bizarre language. Easily intelligible, yet without any real significance.
Electrosprach, it was called. Developed by the great Swiss linguist Dr. Rainer Gissing.
Ah, I've heard of him. It's the guy who had a laboratory in the Alps with a child from every language group in the world.
Right, but after the war, he went to Philadelphia and got a big Carnegie grant to set up the World Tongue Academy. That's where he came up with Electrosprach.
How were listeners supposed to learn the language?
Well, Gissing insisted that the basics of Electrosprach could be learned in half an hour. He piloted his own kids' program to prove it. That's on the tape here, too. The Adventures of Dee Dee, the Grammar Mouse.
Dee Dee Jager, Tierra Elephantin.
Hi. Yo, Dee Dee. What to?
Yo, Elephantin.
Elephantin trumpeter?
Wait a minute, Ish. Wait just 1 minute.
What?
Listen, I'm beginning to doubt the veracity of these supposedly archival tapes that you play for us.
What doubt?
Well, that's not Dr. Rainer Gissing. Dee Dee the grammar rodent is none other than our own weather watchdog, Erling Biggs.
Don't be ridiculous.
Get away from that tape machine, Ish.
Lord.
I don't know what your little game is, Mr. Director of Radio, but you're about to be exposed.
Dee Dee Jager, Tierra Elephantin.
Hi. Yo, Dee Dee, what to?
Yo, Elephantin.
Elephantin, oh. Trumpeter?
I'm sorry, Ish. I guess the tension's getting to me.
That's all right, Paul.
You know, the break-in and the rumors. And I see people talking in the hall, and when they see me, they just stop. Hi, Paul. Yeah, sure.
Well, that's probably enough for today. Now, try to relax, Paul.
Sure, Ish, yeah, I will. And we'll see you again soon.
That's the spirit. In the vault.
What are people saying about people? What are your neighbors saying about you? Don't miss out. Spend the late morning with a whole new crowd. Join the party line with Budge Doyle.
And I just backed up over it again, Budge.
Well done yourself, boy. Next caller.
Looking for informed comment?
Budge, I seen him leave the motel with a wheel of cheese and an axle jack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good for you. Line two, you're next.
Or maybe all you want is a bit of gossip.
He's down there now, putting them in a print bag.
You don't say. Thanks for calling the Party Line.
Whatever you want, you'll find it on Party Line with Budge Doyle. Weekdays at 11 here on BCN. 520 on the long wave.
B-
This Monday sees the official opening of the new Osborne Art Gallery on the outskirts of St. John's. The massive project was built to house the extensive collection of Newfoundland art owned by the late industrialist Sir Peyton Osborne. The building, here on the hills surrounding scenic Robin Hood Bay, has been the subject of much discussion. I'm joined by the project's Toronto-based architect, Edmund Rees.
Hello.
This gallery didn't come cheap.
Oh, you've got to put it in context. Given the project's august purpose, it was only appropriate that a grand structure be erected.
Yeah, granted, but $30 million for the design alone?
Well, it sounds like a lot, I know.
You hear that expression often these days, sounds like a lot. Really, though, it is a lot.
Okay, so it's a lot.
And your design has its detractors.
When you do something new, innovative, you expect that kind of carping. I'm sure there are those who would have preferred a staid Victorian lump of granite, but it's the 90s. We need designs that reflect the world we inhabit.
No argument for me on that. And the fact that the structure is made of garbage?
Well, the area is a landfill, and I wanted the building to emerge organically from its setting.
Yeah, that's another thing that drove up the cost of the building materials. The garbage used was Italian, I understand.
Oh, yes, yes. We looked at some Scottish garbage, but in the end, you can't match the quality of Tuscan garbage.
And local garbage? No, eh?
No.
To the actual design, then. Firstly, it's difficult to know how high the building is. It looks like garbage, or litter, I guess, has blown up against a series of immense chain-link fences and collected in vast mounds.
Heaps. The architectural term is heaping.
Okay, heaps of garbage, then. Stories high. But there's more. It looks as though the CN Tower has been blown, if you like, propelled by the same winds that shape the garbage, turning it into a projectile that has lanced a curved facade.
That's Toronto City Hall.
A postmodern citation?
No, it's a deliberately vulgar image. The city, violating itself. The City Hall reference, the urban vulva, the CN Tower.
Okay, we know the tower. So to run with that metaphor, the Sky Dome, then, and its location at the fundament of Toronto?
Ah, you read my piece in Canadian Architect, I see.
No, but I've been to Toronto. Which has been another criticism of your work. All the references here are to buildings that one sees in Toronto.
Where else is a Canadian architect to take inspiration?
Well,
the great buildings are all on the lakeshore. Believe me. Name me three examples of memorable edifices familiar to all Newfoundlanders and Canadians that are not in Toronto.
The Saddle Dome?
Oh, please.
Well, besides the costs, there have been other controversies surrounding your design. The split with your project manager over, what was that?
They proposed a series of roads leading up to the museum. And two unbelievable parking lots. I mean, immediately adjacent to the structure.
But people have to park somewhere to get to the museum.
Well, they should have hired a crossing guard instead of an architect.
Then there's the issue of your building where it's atop a hill blocking the sunlight. It has placed the Knights Templar Home for Disabled Orphans in permanent shadow.
Oh, perhaps we shouldn't build anything new. That would keep everyone satisfied.
There is much to be said for doing nothing.
Pleasure talking with you.
Sorry? Right, thanks. Edmund Rees, architect.
Hello, I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights. Tomorrow at 6:45, join Bernard Ayres for the Happy Tightwad. This week, Bernard reads the fine print on his 1998 Asia Growth Mutual Fund, proving once again that it's caveat emptor for early retirement wannabes. And underwriters at Gander Life take a bath on layoff insurance. But it's not all gloom and doom on the financial front, as Bernard's speculator friends count your money. The Happy Tightwad, the early bird catches the worm, on BCN Sunday mornings at 6:45. Wednesday evening at 10, join former member of the Newfoundland Bar, Bunker Witten, for Scot Free. This week, listening devices and the law with surveillance wizard Walter Pico. Suing your parents, hiding away to avoid trial, know the limitations, and the new personality defense. It's all pro bono on Scot Free. The BCN is proud to announce an addition to our broadcasting schedule. Friday nights at 8, join Libby Sinyard, BCN's own Bay Superwoman, for Indian Summer, programming by and for women over 50. On her first show, Libby looks into all-gal travel packages, talks with boating enthusiast Emily Ellis, and has her regular panel of active, mature women tackle the hot topic of taking on a young lover. Indian Summer, Fridays at 8 p.m., programming by and for women over 50. A full week of informative and entertaining programming on BCN, All Newfoundland Radio.
It's time to play What's That Noise from Newfoundland? But unfortunately, one of the items burgled from this venerable radio pile the past week was a giant sack of entries to the world-renowned Sonic Game Show. Yes, your entries to the What's That Noise contest have been stolen. So in a sense, you too, in a very real way, are victims of this heinous, senseless travesty. All hope is not yet lost. The formidable Royal Newfoundland Constabulary are on the case, and we pray for a positive resolution in the near future. In all optimism, then, we present you with the noise and invite your entries to the contest. You can write us, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or you can email us, greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Let's put a brave face on all this now, Hollis, and give us the noise from Newfoundland. Hollis? They stole the noise, too. Oh. Well, let's go to some music. What's left out there? Oh, some Swedish music. Good. Thank God. The one bright light in this dark hour is that the burglars did not pilfer the Swedish music. Is it? Yes, it is. Here's Frifoss with Brudgummen och Bruden.
Brudgummen och Bruden, vilka täcka du stå, den önskas av nöje, färgglad och löje, tills det blir grå. Den önskas av nöje, färgglad och löje, tills det blir grå. Huvudsinn och mandel blive eder handel för varje minut. Socker och citroner, ostron och meloner för varje minut. Socker och citroner, ostron och meloner för varje minut.
Blir grå. I welcome back our panel on political culture in Newfoundland. With me in the oldest city in North America, our pundit and pollster, J. Richard Kandow.
Hello, Paul.
For gender and ideological balance, host of BCN show trial, Ariel Flint.
Hi, Paul.
And Valmanis chair in political economy at UNSJ, Carl Johnson, joins us on the phone from Huntsville, Texas. We begin with an unsavory item, but one that we have to deal with here. The proposed merger of two of Canada's largest banks.
Go, banks, grow! Grow, banks, grow!
Why is bigger necessarily better, J. Richard?
You tell me, Ariel.
See, Paul, I was right. Mm-hmm. This whole merger is really just Canadian bank execs feeling inadequate about the size of their holdings, shall we say.
Don't be ridiculous. If Canada is going to be a serious player in the enslavement of the developing world, we need to have an institution with international muscle. And I should add that it isn't prudent to get too deep into loony-based deals these days.
You're down on the Canadian dollar, hey, JR?
Well, we traded it short, so in that sense, if you're speculating...
Who traded the Canadian dollar short?
Denial. Denial. No currency manipulation whatsoever. Banks definitely not involved. Misspoke. Sorry. Everybody happy. Liberal government good. Good government. Go back to sleep.
I smelt speculators in this one.
Wrong. It's those damn Asians. How many times did we tell Suharto? A standard skim is 15%. But no, they had to go and get greedy.
How many times did who tell this to Suharto?
Oh, nobody you'd know, Ariel. Come on, next topic.
This one is related, I guess, though. Crippling debt for Canadian students. Now, what are we going to do about that?
Legalized brothels like they have down in Nevada. They'll work down the debt in no time.
You are proposing that students work as prostitutes to pay off their student loans.
Just the good-looking ones. No dogs. You guys aren't seeing the big picture. This way, that portion of the domestic population that have a chance to make a decent living, the ones that are educated, will always be providing the banks with the income. Oh, it's too complicated for you people.
I researched student loans. Carl,
what are you doing in Huntsville, Texas? You weren't protesting that state's murder of convicted pickaxe killer, Carla Faye Tucker, were you?
Actually, I'm advising opponents of the new proactive anti-crime bill.
It's a bizarre inversion of the three strikes you're out legislation.
I'm afraid you've lost me.
Well, it's called the preemptive three strikes. Don't you read the news, Paul?
I find it makes me blue.
Well, the state will identify those segments of the population that are inclined to criminal activity and, well, you know, preempt them. It's more economical than killing them one at a time.
And how will the state determine who has this felonious predilection?
You know, Ariel, the scheme still has a few bugs. Anyway, the planes will not start spraying the poisons until a fail-safe method is determined.
How about phrenology?
What's that?
The study of cranial features as an indication of character.
Yeah, how do you spell that?
I don't know, call me an old softy, but this lethal injection stuff, it gives me the creeps.
It's a disgrace.
Oh, yeah, what would you do about a woman who plunged a pick into a couple of people?
I'm a middle-class liberal. I let someone else deal with it. I don't want acts of retribution on my conscience, and I certainly don't want criminals in my neighborhood.
Well, here.
Don't worry about your conscience. Didn't you see Georgie Bush Jr. in the tube? Leave the final moral calculations to God. It's easy.
Does the right-wing establishment really want to leave it to God? After all, they've long been making decisions that are essentially her department.
I don't want to think about this.
Or are they insofar in blood that sin will pluck on sin?
What the hell does that mean, Ariel?
It's from Richard.
I said nothing of the sort!
The third! Richard the third.
Never heard of him. Next!
Privatization of healthcare in Canada. J. Richard, you're in like a dirty shirt on this one.
Yeah, not only that.
If I might interrupt before you muddy the waters, Ariel, the four-tier health program is the only realistic solution to a healthcare system that is in crisis.
Richard, I don't really understand this four-tier thing.
Well, it's simple. First tier is for those that have a lot of money, you know, top quality care.
Organ harvesting program in the third world.
Yeah, all the bells and whistles. Second tier, middle class types like you guys pay for their own food, change their own linen, what have you. Third tier is your whole welfare state. Government pays the shot to my company.
That's only three.
Stop hectoring me, Johnson!
Yes, Richard, tell us about the fourth tier.
Fourth tier is a veterinary solution, you know.
Lethal injections.
Lethal injections. Buzzwords. Putting people to sleep. And only if they are really poor and very sick. Your friend there, Sven Robinson, was a big advocate of this kind of thing before he became a candidate for the procedure.
Well, at least you're a man a few contradictions.
Thank you, Errol. And you know, healthcare workers are constantly grousing about being overworked. This will greatly reduce the number of patients.
I could just speak to that, actually.
I'm sorry, Carl, you can't. We're out of time.
I'll say.
Thanks what to my studio guests, Ariel Flint and J. Richard Kandow. And
bye,
Carl Johnson,
Hello,
south of the border.
Down Mexico.
We'll see you all again soon on another political panel.
Adios, muchachos.
Coast to coast in Newfoundland.
You're listening to BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Civil disobedience, break-ins, lawlessness, disorder, anarchy. I've long been an advocate of these activities, but only subjectively, as an ideological weapon, a means of equaling the equation, as a swipe at the oppressor, upsetting the enemy. Never have I been on the receiving end, felt the pains of being violated. Never have I experienced the oppressor's experience. Never, that is, until the break and enter at the BCN here this past week. And I don't like it. I'm speaking on a personal level here. Sure, the station was the target. Sure, the perpetrators messed up a couple of the studios and stole some T-shirts and pocket protectors from the kiosk in the lobby. Sure, there were pictures of on-air personalities torn from the walls and cruelly defaced. But they chose my office for the foulest of their deeds. If you've never endured the inhumanity, the infringement of grubby unknowns breaking into a place that you hold as your resort, your priest's hole, your refuge, then you know nothing of the emptiness I feel. You, too, would have been as humiliated as I by the childish manner in which they singled out my office and soiled it. But not only that, the pilfering of cherished mementos from my journeys round this island, this world, they've stolen my memories as well as my belongings. What of the rifling of my private documents and the desk where I keep certain papers, say, papers that perhaps are notes for little chats like this, or messages to myself or others that are for only a limited number of eyes, and diaries of certain confidential events, say. Some pieces were stolen that could only have been used as, well, it's just as well to say it, as blackmail. Some innocent, inconsequential logs that can be twisted into a circumstantial web of incriminating insinuations only by those with nefarious purpose. Come on! Send back the manual! Send back the Pez juicer! What foul use have you of them? What greater blueprint do you follow? What are you saying about me in the halls? Hollis, stop that smirking! I don't know what's going on around here anymore. Eastern comes to you live every week due to the Olympian efforts of our gold medalist, man of the buttons, Hollis Duffett, and the marathon man, director of radio, Ish Lundrigan. Visit our coal-fired website, www.greateastern.cbc.ca, and there you'll find history, bios, photos, and sound. The Great Eastern is rebroadcast every Saturday evening on Radio 2 of the CBC service and on the shortwave service of Radio Canada International. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next week for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.